How many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity?
That's true. Oh my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my two-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast, episode 247. My name is Justin Worsham.
Hi, Justin.
Hello, and I am your host. And with me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, the Kevin Miller.
That's right.
The not this Kevin Bruce Jickish.
Yeah, I remember that guy from last week. Woo, doggy. Who was that guy?
We talked about last week. I got a movie. That's an old classic for, I think, video game fans and nerds. Yeah. The Wiz with Fred Savage and a young child actress that seemed to me, I remember to be very popular around that
Winnie
era.
Winnie the Pooh.
What are you doing?
I don't know. Something just started playing.
Are you playing StarCraft?
I don't know what I'm playing.
Nobody can hear it.
Just us.
Anyway, well, while you're figuring that out. I watched The Wiz, and I was telling Kevin in between shows that I think it stands up. I think it stands the test of time, in my opinion.
Remind us the plot of The Wiz.
It's very, here's the thing. When you watch that movie and you're 10, I think I was 10, it was 89 when it came out. You might have to check that for me.
I have the Internet Movie Database.
Okay. So when I was about 10 years old, as I believe when that came out, and there's lots of points in the story that you could care less about.
Those are all the plot points.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, like for instance, they had to make it to where, why would this man drive across country with his son, and why would this boy leave with this other kid who has some form of autism or trauma or something like that?
You sure it's not called The Wizard?
Yeah, the
it's
Wizard.
The
I'm
Wizard.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
the Wizard is another thing. All in,
that's a Black Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, exactly.
For the colored.
Yeah,
film.
The Wizard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go on.
So anyway, The Wizard, 1989, with Fred Savage. Who was the? Oh, Christian Slater playing the older brother, which was cool to see a young Christian Slater in '89.
It's true.
Jeff Bridges.
Bo Bridges.
Bo Bridges. Thank you. Was the dad.
Yeah.
Nobody else, I think, was really a name in there.
Christian Slater, Jenny Lewis.
Don't know who that is.
Yeah, Chuck Skinner was Grease Monkey in that film. Luke Edwards. Remember him?
Nope.
Yeah. Wendy Phillips.
Wendy Phillips.
From Wilson Phillips fame.
Was she in that movie? That's not the Wendy Phillips.
I don't think so either. But, yeah.
So here's the story. The story is that a couple.
Yeah.
But they don't address this early on. The movie starts with the wizard walking down a freeway, and then a sheriff finds him and then says, well, what do you want me to do with him? You know, and then they're like, well, take him back to his mom. Oh, really? No shit. Thanks for the exposition. But then they take him back, and you find out that this kid has some form of trauma, and all he wants to do is go to California, because that's the only line the kid has to know is, California. So then it comes to find, and then you meet Fred Savage's character, and so what happens is, for whatever reason, they lose his twin sister. The wizard's twin sister dies. I can't remember the reason.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there's a ton of stuff. So then that death causes the split up of the parents, mm-hmm. and then the mom remarries to the guy who is known for playing every jackass character role in 1989. Can you figure out who's the stepdad?
Oh, yes.
In that IMDb situation that you have going on there?
I just went away from that page, but let's see.
Sorry.
Was it...
probably would be fourth
Wendy
or
Phillips?
Fifth down.
No. Vince Trienkia.
Maybe I should look at it.
No. Counselor Bateman. Sam Woods. Corey Woods. No.
Bo Bridges. Be a brother. No.
Nick Woods.
No.
That was play.
Here,
Jenny
watch
Lewis.
This. I'm going to hit pause. And we're back. Okay, so here's what I did.
Oh, man. So many things just happened.
Yeah, that took a while. So Sam McMurray is the character actor that played the stepdad. But while I was looking through that, there's a guy, Will Seltzer, who played the guy, the this is another thing, funny thing about this movie. He plays the bounty hunter who finds lost children.
So like a tuition, what are those called? A truant officer?
No. He's a freelance bounty hunter. But he's not a bounty hunter. He's just like he just gets introduced as, this is Mr. Putnam. Yeah. He finds lost children and specializes in teenagers. And then as you watch the arc of his character, you just realize this guy's just a dickhead bounty hunter who's just like only finds children, which means that he's on the bottom rung of bounty hunters. Like, he probably went to the bounty hunter school, got his license, you know, and then he was like,
are there,
man,
bounty hunting schools?
These guys are rough. Like, these criminals are rough and tough. If there's only some way... I bet if I found a reward, I could take on kids. I could, and then he can't even do that. Couldn't even keep up with Fred Savage and that Wendy Phillips chick or whatever her name was.
Because they used video games to escape them and their power gloves.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
You keep your power gloves off of her.
So anyway, Jenny Lewis was Haley. And she's all, so here's the other interesting thing, too, that I just saw was that Jimmy Woods, Jimmy is the name of the kid, is played by Luke Edwards. I want to see what he's done lately because he has a current picture. So let's see. Oh, no, he hasn't done anything. Oh, he's in American Pie 2. Jeepers Creepers 3, Special Ops, Night of the Punks. Nothing really big. Anyway, so Jimmy wants to go to California because his sister died. His parents are split up. Wife remarries this dick, played by Sam McAllister, and they're trying to send him away to this special school or whatever. And who are you giving thumbs down to?
Nothing. I'm just showing them the Vulcan hand grip in case they... It's just two people.
We could talk about something else.
No, or... I'm fascinated.
Are you?
I really am.
Oh, okay, good.
Some of us can just do more than one thing at the same time. That's all.
That's interesting how you can make rude sound condescending.
Ah,
yeah. Did that sting a little? Or that one a little fast?
Good for you.
Need a button presser for you. So anyway, so they're going to send him to special school. He doesn't want to go to the special school. Fred Savage's character wants him to come live with us and said, Mom wouldn't have never let this happen or whatever. Because here's the other interesting thing about it is that Fred Savage's mom mm-hmm. passed away. So
they're not brothers?
They're half brothers.
Oh,
so this is the amount of trauma that has happened to this one family to put this weird storyline together to make it all make sense so that this kid could... have some form of mute autism or something like that right. And be really good at video games, okay? Mom has to pass away with Fred Savage and Christian Slater and Bo Bridges. Then he gets remarried. He conceives twins, a boy and a girl, with this new wife. Something happens to the daughter. She dies, mm-hmm. but she was old enough to like have experiences. You know, they have history
but
together.
They don't tell you how she died?
Nope. Not that I can remember. They just say that when she passed away, you know, Jimmy was never the same after that. Like, right. That was kind of the thing. Yeah. So then Momland and Bo Bridges, new mom and Bo Bridges, split up. She marries Asshole. Asshole just wants to get this kid checked into a mental institution and have him taken care of because he keeps running away trying to go to California. Now, here's my issue.
California.
My issue is that if your kid just lost his twin sister, all right, 1989 filmmakers... Just why wouldn't the family just take the kid to California?
Yeah, but see, the 80s filmmakers clearly were not that great.
No.
Because they create these really weird, heavy-handed scenarios in which people would never find themselves.
Yep.
And ever. And then make these really meaningful films about them. And it's embarrassing, I think, for Americans. I watched, when I took... American Sign Language at Ohlone College, we watched some old video from the 80s in which they were explaining how the deaf people have a right to culture and everything. And there was just this pervasive apologetic attitude towards people with any sort of disability. Like, you had to apologize for being deaf.
Yeah.
Was sort of the mentality at the time. And sure, 89 was a little late in the game, but still, you have to apologize.
So I'm disabled. I'm a deaf person. I'm apologizing for inconveniencing you.
Yep, for having a problem. And asking for you to consider me an equal. I'm sorry I'm deaf. I'm sorry that my sister was killed traumatically.
Which would you?
And I have needs and want to do something like move to California. And and I'm six.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Which is funny because, like, looking at it through today's perspective, it sounds passive aggressive.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm sorry that I can't hear, and it's such a burden.
Well, it's
for
because
you.
Those people we grew up and now we run things, and we're like, yeah, you should probably be listened to.
Yeah.
It's because our generation was filled with divorced parents that, you know, were loving themselves. That part was in
baby
massive
boomers
quotation sarcasm.
Yeah. So then my other favorite part of the film is that Fred Savage's character goes and breaks Jimmy out of the mental institution that he's in.
This is all part of this movie?
Yeah.
I don't remember any of this.
Well, it's very quick in like the first 10 minutes, and this is why our 10-year-old little minds wouldn't wrap around that part, because we just want to get to the video games, which, weirdly enough, takes a long time to get to.
Yeah.
So
I remember that feeling of like, why is it so long into the... Just show me more of Super Mario Brothers 3. You know what? Forget this. I'm just going to go play Super Mario Brothers 3.
Exactly. Yeah. So and also more and more of the area that they live in is like everything is desert and road. It's just like there's a house here and then they have to and it's desert road. So it's all supposed to be like very not so subtle imagery of like, look at the journey that they're about to go on. It's such an epic travel
because kids can walk across the desert.
Yes, exactly. The wizard is comparable. The wizard in 1989 is compared to Homer's Odyssey. And so when he breaks out of the mental institution. They just walk outside, and in the middle of this desert, there's nothing there except for this place. There's a Hostess delivery truck.
Smart.
That he's like, quick, Jimmy, get in here. And they get in the back of the delivery truck because the guy's delivering bread to the Wonder Bread or whatever to the or the mental institution.
So it's like early product placement.
Yep. And then they guy never finds them, drives them halfway across town or whatever, and they get out with chocolate on their face because they've been chowing down on Hostess cakes.
And throw up.
And then they steal everything. And I can't remember. So then what they start doing is he goes to the bus station or the train station, I think, or something, and he's trying to get out of town, and he's like, how much to get to California? Because he's like, well, I'm going to take Jimmy to California. Because the kid gets it, even though the parents don't understand. So he goes here's the other thing. He doesn't know why he has to go to California, but Fred Savage's character thinks that if he takes him to California, it'll make him better again.
Yeah.
So anyway, they don't have enough money. And then he just gives the kid a quarter to play, I think, Double Dragon on. And the kid plays it for like 10 minutes. And he goes, when he stops, he goes, come on, Jimmy, we got to go. He goes, and he does like a double take to the arcade. This is my other favorite part. You score 55,000 points on Double Dragon? Who does that? I don't remember the points ever being relevant to anything, right?
Yeah, you cared about the...
The story, getting through.
You beat it, or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Points were a very early 80s mentality of because there was nothing else to gauge it on, how many points could you rack up in Asteroids? It was also the plot of Last Starfighter, so forgot to not watch that movie.
Which I think is very funny because I really think that today, weirdly enough, kids' movies give kids more credit than what they did when we were kids. Does that make sense?
Kids' movies today?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Like, you can't just throw together some piece of shit movie about Nintendo games and throw it up there and expect it to succeed.
And it's also, again, in part, the fact that we grew up watching crap and said we loved animation and kids' films. And our generation grew up and said, that stuff is still relevant. I want to see it.
That's true. We are the ones making it. Our age bracket is making those films. That's a good point.
And we had thankfully, we had some solid cartoons because the people who were making cartoons had some decent cartoons when they were kids. The Looney Tunes and the early Flintstones and stuff. They were then making the weird Hanna-Barbera stuff that we watched, like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
And then later, the real Ghostbusters, which was a pretty badass boys Saturday morning cartoon. Garfield and Friends, those such, and now we make.
We have told people that they need to play the Ghostbusters video game, right?
I think so. You know that game is only $20 right now. If you can, it does.
Damn it, buy it.
It doesn't do that. I saw it. I was trying to explain it to Kat last night. I'm like, this is not fair. Games that sell really well maintain a high price market value years after their release. You still can't get Halo for less than $40. Halo 3. And yet you can buy Ghostbusters 2 or Ghostbusters the video game for $20. It's a good game.
Oh, you're saying? Oh, I thought it was like a greatest hits. You know how after they've been out for a while,
I couldn't see. Maybe it is a greatest hits, but I don't even think Halo.
I don't think it is, but I thought that's what you were saying.
It's
dropping. So you're saying it hasn't sold so well enough to?
Yeah, you know, if you buy, you know, iPet, it's gonna be $20, which I own, by the way. I got the PlayStation Move this past week.
What?
It's pretty awesome. Listen, I have played an unnecessary amount of time of iPet, which is maybe an hour. But
is that the one that we just saw with the tiger on the screen?
No, that's Connectimals. That's that's for the Xbox. That's their version, which it looks like.
Oh, I've seen the iPad. It's the one where the you see yourself.
Yep.
And there's a little mirror. Purple monkey jumping around.
And you can do whatever, and your controller turns into different things to interact
with. To feed
it
or play with it.
And that's pretty much what all the gimmicks are for a lot of the party-based PlayStation Move games are, like I think Let's Party or Party Started. It's the same thing. You watch yourself, and you use the controller like swat flies or slice fruit with a giant knife and that kind of thing. And it's pretty fun, but I have a feeling it's going to beat the Kinect in terms of interaction with the, because the precision that you can do is so dead on. And that if you move the object closer, because it transforms the top of your controller into a sword. So if you bring the controller closer to the camera, it makes the sword bigger naturally. And if you pull the thing away, I walked all the way across the room.
Oh, so it has an idea of perspective.
It gets it. It knows the Z axis, whereas the Kinect is just looking for motion, really.
Yeah. And that's the idea of the ball, is it's essentially the same as motion capture, right?
It is motion tracking, yeah. And so I think that this opens up a lot of possibilities for motion capture suits. That'd be pretty sweet. Wear a whole thing and walk around with that. It has a problem.
Oh, you don't watch American Dad, huh?
No, I don't.
They did this. I'm sorry, my son.
He wanted so politely. To see his haircut.
You got a haircut or no? He wants me to see his Incredibles pajamas.
Oh, I thought he wanted to show off his combed hair.
So politely and quietly, he taps me on the shoulder. He's never done that before in his entire life saying, Dad, or something like that. He just comes up and goes, tap. Those are some pretty cool Incredibles pajamas, dude. I know you're a big fan. Where did we get those? Your sister gave us those. Well, thank you.
Where'd you get that haircut?
He needs one bad.
You know, you were talking about the wizard and kind of the heavy-handed storyline that's in that and everything. Do you remember the movie Stargate? Not the TV show, but the film Stargate.
Yes.
And how it was before MacGyver was on or MacGruber. It was who played his part in the film? It was What's-His-Bucket from Escape from New York. And
Wait, you're saying before Richard Dean Anderson
in
the television show.
Yeah. That
you're saying, not, I thought you were saying MacGyver came out after Stargate the film.
No.
Yeah.
No. Who's the actor that played that?
I have no idea, unfortunately.
Escape from New York.
Kurt Russell? Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah that's
Kurt
right.
Russell plays the character that
MacGyver, Richard Dean Anderson in Stargate.
So the same people who wrote Stargate the film also wrote Independence Day, but they worked on the television series. And if you watch the movie, it's pretty solid. The Richard Dean Anderson's character, Russell Crowe's character, whatever the guy's name is, loses their son. He finds a gun in their house. He's ex-military. He finds a gun in their house and accidentally kills himself. So the guy is suicidal. We meet his wife. Their whole family is just in shambles. He's up in his attic, like, polishing his gun. He's clearly contemplating suicide because...
This is Kurt Russell's character.
Yeah, because he's killed his own son by leaving the gun out. And so they choose him for this mission because they think the likelihood of you coming back is very slim. We need somebody that's already thrown in the towel to do this mission. That's why they choose him to begin with. And then he comes back and he has a new, you know, he meets kids and he has this sense of life and purpose. It's a really good filmic thing to add into this really kind of cheesy popcorn science fiction story that I love. But then the same people who made that movie are the executive producers of the TV show, and they muck the whole thing up. Because later on, we meet the wife, another actress plays her, and they display it as if they had the perfect love romance before the child was shot. And it's clear in the scenes that they're there that they didn't like each other much before the child died, and they hate each other now. And they just ruin all that. They pretend like they had the most idyllic...
Like the movie never happened.
What, they just turn it on its ear and make it Ozzie and Harriet, that it was perfect and fluffy, and they were...
And there's a strong chance that that's some kind of network note that was brought in.
So.
Although it's the... Stargate originated on the Sci-Fi Channel, or was it UPN?
No, USA.
USA.
Started on USA and then moved over to Sci-Fi.
And I think at the time, because it didn't become successful till it was on Sci-Fi, yeah, right?
That's where it picked up. That's when it was.
Now they've got like 8 different universes. And... Yeah.
It was touch and go for the first several seasons. One of the actors went away for one season and came back. And every year, except for I think the 7th season, they ended it with a cliffhanger finale that could also be just the end of the series.
Oh, okay.
Because they didn't know if they were going to be picked back up. The last season of it, when it was clear that they were going to be discontinued and they were handing the reins over to the spinoff Stargate Atlantis, they had a number of inside digs to the show where characters would come into Stargate Command and they'd say, I can't believe what is happening here. That your funding is really low. They say, considering what you've done for this network of stars, I can't believe that they would do this to you. Said, well,
digging into sci-fi again.
Yeah. There's well, that's because all of their attention is on Atlantis. Like, wow, that's pretty bold for the writers.
That's great.
I mean, because they write for both shows, but they were a little angry that their own show got canceled.
Yeah, but they're writing for fans. Fans are gonna love it. Nobody else is gonna realize it. You know, it's good times. Yeah, exactly.
That's a little harsh.
Yeah.
Stargate Universe now, the third spinoff from the film, is a very solid show. They watched Battlestar Galactica and said, hey, we can do that. And a lot of the storylines sometimes are uncannily similar. But the depth of character and the drama, they have very little action because it's a lot of really intense moments and scenes and people dealing with dark secrets and death. And they're trapped on the other side of the universe. And the captain was ready to step down from being in the military just before this happened. Now he's trapped on the other side of the universe being the commander of a bunch
of
people.
That's a cool dynamic.
Don't want to be there. They have civilians mixed in.
It is definitely like Battlestar.
Yeah, a little. But they're all serving together. And then he was just about to go through a divorce because he had hooked up with a chick in the military who just so happens to be on the other side of the universe with him. And then to make things even worse, they have the ability to swap bodies with somebody back on Earth for short periods of time. So they can go home and visit their houses, but in somebody else's body. And so he can go home and beg for his wife's forgiveness for what he's done, but he's in somebody else's body and he can't.
So he just looks like an encyclopedia salesman.
Yeah, but she knows it's him. He says, I'm him. I'm in his body and yada, yada, yada. And there's a great moment where actually when they make up and then they make some love and something happens in the middle of the connection and they swap back bodies for the blink of an eye and then swap back again. And the guy's reaction that was on the starship that ended up in his own body at home for a minute in the middle of a lovemaking session and then ends up back on Earth, he's just sort of like frozen. Are you okay? Yes. But the other guy is not going to be in a few minutes. It's a decent show. I recommend
it. Oh, I see now. So what you're saying is if I possess somebody there, then they possess me.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a swap out. Okay.
You swap consciousness with somebody else across the universe. Yeah.
It's weird. You're saying this is a good thing? Yeah.
Okay. It adds to the... Because they did this technique on the other shows as well. It was really geeky and fun and useful for learning information and such and such. But for this, it adds to this, because it's so gritted in reality, it adds to this damnation feeling, because you are trapped. You're going to die. It's clear there's no way they can get home. They are stranded on the other side of the universe. But they get these like waking dreams of being able to go home and see family and see people, but they're in another person's body. It's like watching life behind a glass and done really well, the whole show. And that's just one little element.
I got those on, if you have Netflix, you could get them on the Instantly Watch, all the seasons. And I got Stargate Atlantis because...
That's fun.
For the same reason I had heard about Battlestar, it was a nerdy show that a lot of nerds liked. And so I'm like, oh, maybe I'm into
that. And that's very popcorn. That does a lot of, that feels like a superhero, like a comic book, because you meet different villains and there's a storyline and they try to keep Atlantis secret and the Wraith are coming. But Stargate Universe from the very, so many shows, like even Heroes will say, you got to get past the first few episodes before it makes sense. It's more like Lost. The very first episode, you're hooked in. If you don't like the first episode, don't bother with the show. But it's, I mean, that the very first scene, they just show a Stargate opening up and people are being hurled across the room for some reason. And they pile
such
on.
Such a smart way to start a show like that. Such a smart way.
What do you mean? Like
I mean, it's seriously. Yeah, yeah. Like in the middle. I don't understand why it's not the convention. You know?
They did it. They figured
because
it
you
out.
Would, you're always, when you try to build this pilot of exposition and everything, and I want to always point the finger at the same thing where it's like these network execs who are like, well, you got to tell us why we're invested
right.
in
yeah,
these
yeah,
people,
yeah.
blah, 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 you know.
And these guys, they do a good job of, they'll show the, like Battlestar used to do, well, they'll show the ending simultaneously to the rest of the show, or they'll tell, you know, 48 hours earlier or 24 yeah. hours earlier, so they'll give you teasers of why things are important or...
It's such a great way to get people hooked immediately.
Exactly.
Like, just to do something weird. Like, why is this happening?
Right.
You're already invested through wanting answers to questions.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
duh.
And this show is episodic, so that they, or is it serial? I don't even remember the difference. But they build on every episode. Like, if you watch them out of order, you need to know what has happened between
Before.
The episodes. But they do a good job of not over explaining things to you. So they'll leave an episode and you just need to understand what the eight things that happened yeah. between the end of that episode and the next episode, because it's boring and they don't need to explain it to you. You just figure it out.
Well, that's what got me onto the Stargate SG-1
yeah.
is because Stargate Atlantis starts off with this passing of the torch, beginning of the episode. You see a lot of the characters from SG-1 and yeah. like, well, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they leave and I'm like, well, I feel like they're referencing all this stuff that I haven't seen. So maybe yeah. it's worth going back and, you know, because I got
that's
it.
That's how I felt when I watched the first episode of Boston Legal. I'm like, what? Who are these people?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that hard of a spinoff.
Yeah.
Like they're acting like this is episode 30.
That's true. I keep forgetting that it was. What was it a spinoff of? It was The Practice.
The Practice.
Yeah, that's right.
It was
such a good show. It's so bummer. It's such a bummer that show got canceled. I didn't think it needed to be, but
don't worry, William Shatner's on Shit My Dad Says.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
doing the same thing.
Same. Really good.
Have you seen that?
I have.
You like it?
I laugh at it, but I think for the wrong... I laugh because it's really good jokes, not because they're good stories.
Ah, got it.
They're genuinely... It's like a stand-up routine.
Yeah.
Which, you know, done well is funny.
Well, that's also where the show comes from, is that Twitter account of
yeah,
just
exactly.
jokes of, you know, weird
Whereas
perspective.
You compare that to...
Which
Community.
A lot of comics think is fake. I don't know if it is real or fake, but...
Oh, I think that's genuine.
Yeah.
I don't think you could... I mean, I'm sure it was... promoted and you know, who knows if everything that was there was exactly how he said it or he even said it, but I have a hard time believing
it's
that
such a great concept for a Twitter
it.
Account too
yeah.
but anyway what was the other thing I don't know if I'm backtracking too much or you tell me if this is not interesting, but I did want to finish talking about the wizard.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No, you didn't. Not at all.
Do you like the way I asked that? It was very British of me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
I thought you were being McWingert.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's British, you know.
Yeah, he can.
His American accent is pretty good, right? I had you.
Yeah, I was like, what?
What?
Oh, whatever. So I talked about how the kids leave to go to California, and then all of a sudden he notices his score, and then he goes, this is what I thought was interesting, too, is that they decide, oh, here's how we could do this. We're going to put him in competitions, because... You know Kevin, because you used to
yes.
hang around an arcade occasionally like I would.
Yeah.
And there was constantly money passing hands in the tens and twenties of dollars, because this is back in the Reagan era when everybody had money, I guess.
Yeah.
No, not 89. That was Bush.
That was Bush.
So
Bush won.
Yeah. So I'm saying that there's another implausible idea within a film that these 10-year-olds are going to be able to raise hundreds of dollars to get a train ticket or a bus ticket to cross, you know, most of the
or
country.
Desert shoes to walk it through the
yeah.
the valley, yeah.
All by beating scores on video games and competing against other kids, and nothing is going to be raised, you know, no questions are going to be raised.
Well, and I don't know about you, but I would never as a kid put a dollar on a game I would play. Like,
yeah.
you're not a pool shark.
Yeah. That wasn't the point of it either. The point wasn't to be really that competitive. I mean,
yeah.
there were competitive games, like, say, a fighting game or something like that.
Yeah, but it was to win. It
yeah.
was so you get an achievable and an unlockable.
Oh, snap.
You know what I'm saying? But and that's just another place where adults trying to impose ideals onto kids.
Yes.
Like, we need to create this story. And the truth is, you and I remember this film and don't remember any of that bull.
Nope.
I could care less.
You remember the competition and the first time he meets that Russell
kid. Do that movie.
Yeah.
Do that story about a kid growing up in a normal suburban lifestyle, telling his friends that he can beat games and them going, no, you're no good at it. Him practicing and then taking it to a competition. That's a movie I'd watch and remember the story to. I don't remember 90% of what you're telling me.
Yeah.
I think you're making it up.
The first act of the, and then there's this other cool dynamic that I like where Christian Slater brings along the Nintendo. They never address the Nintendo ever.
Mm-hmm.
But Christian Slater brings it along and on their trip to go find his little brother and his little half-brother. And one night in the hotel, I can't remember. Oh, they have an issue where the bounty hunter for kids like slashes their tire or bangs up their car or something like that. So while they're getting it fixed, he goes into the mechanic's office and uses the TV in the mechanic's office and hooks up a Nintendo. And they pass it off like this is a convention that video gamers do. This is just how we live our lives. We commandeer other people's property to play our video games,
right.
You know? And he goes,
now we have iPhones.
So. Yeah. So he's like, well, what are you doing? Like, Bo Bridges comes in and asks him, and he goes, oh, this is that video game that Fred Savage's character got for Christmas or his birthday or whatever. And he goes, I thought that was broken. He goes, yeah, I fixed it. What, you fixed it?
Right.
He's like, yeah, I fixed it. It's like, you know, yeah, sure. You could just pull apart a Nintendo and
stitch it back together. Yeah.
In my mind, he fixed it by blowing on the cartridges.
Nice.
So
that's how it was,
rubbing alcohol in a Q-tip.
So somebody said, like, before the internet, every kid knew how to do that. Somehow we all got that word to it. How did we learn all that?
Well, I never knew that because I remember watching my friend blow on it, and I go, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Well, you got to clean it out. If it gets dusty, it doesn't work." Right. I said, well, why don't you get a Q-tip and some rubbing alcohol? That'll actually clean it in a way that you're not, because now you're just spitting all over it inside the game.
You're smarter than most kids. And I remember saying that they're like, you have to blow on it, but you can't spit on it.
Yeah.
So you're like, you dry your mouth out, and they somehow, and I'm like, there's no way you can stop moisture.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully I didn't just.
Well, it's just a dumb concept. So that's why I always clean mine with a Q-tip and rubbing alcohol. That was how
did it
I
work?
Did. Yeah. Well, and it's funny, you could see how well it worked because, like, I used to clean my games almost on a regular basis because I was very obsessed with my possessions.
I was busy collecting the boxes, and you were decorating them with alcohol. tell me, what was your favorite NES game?
Ooh. That's going to be...
Or
Excitebike.
Ooh, good choice.
Excitebike.
Yeah, that was one with a memory chip in it, the battery, so you could store stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, big deal. Only a few games had memory.
Oh, that's right, because you could build your own racetracks
and
stuff. That's
Zelda
right.
Zelda had that. Big deal. I had a watch
could
pad
never
inside.
Get into Zelda. I could... I kind of like Super Mario Brothers. Not till this day have never finished Mario Brothers.
Really? The original Mario Brothers? We can get that together. Even your wife's finished.
I know. I know. I couldn't. I couldn't.
You can do that in 20 minutes.
Because here's what I was interested in at that age. I was interested in escaping and participating in things that I liked but couldn't do.
What about Metroid?
No. Could never finish
Metroid. Metroid is everything you just described. Escaping and doing things you could never do.
Yeah, but there were aspects of the game that were impossible. So what I'm saying is that like the idea of riding a dirt bike and doing these flips in the air and jumping off these impossible jumps.
Yeah.
The mechanics of it were simple enough for me then that I could accomplish that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas Metroid was a complicated game in Mario Brothers where you could hit a point where it's like if you don't hit the button at the right moment, so
that
then it just
nervous.
Reminded me of what I was incapable of.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's common for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you get to that place where you
I was a big fan of Duck Hunt.
Yeah, gotta love Duck Hunt. Yeah. When I got it, I got the triple combo. I had one cartridge with both the original Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, and the Power Pad Olympian version, because I had the Power Pad as well. Mm-hmm. So you could choose between the three games, and the Duck Hunt was great. But the Power Pad was like the original Wii.
Yeah.
You threw it out. It was like a big twister board, and you'd run out. Have I told this story before?
No, I don't think so.
We unfurled it one time, and this neighbor girl of ours, that was just a piece of work, but she decided to tease my brother, who was 3 years younger than me, and get him to dance on the Power Pad, thinking that he was somehow playing Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me this.
But we'd hold the controller.
I thought it was you that did it.
No, it was her idea, but I did it. because I thought it was funny. And then he got so hurt. But we'd sit there and take turns holding the controller in our lap, making the thing move around for him. Oh, it was so great. Poor kid.
I need to rephrase my favorite. It was Tecmo Bowl was my favorite.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why. Now,
see,
I was really into sports games when I was a kid.
That's one of the games that I don't understand. Or not them, but Mutant League Football. How has that not
I know.
Been brought back?
That was a great game.
And then the other
because
game.
Because we're more interested now because of the success of Madden. I think gamers are more interested because there's not enough guys that I think. I kind of would fit in between in the middle of you and, say, a guy who plays Madden. Because yeah. I read this article on G4.com where they talked about, and I think I talked about it on the show, where they recommended all these games for, because now there are gamers that are just playing games because they like football or they like basketball.
Yeah, which is
And they're
happen.
Not into anything else. And so they're suggesting
it's like
other
the other
games.
End of, it's a gateway game, much like The Sims or Wii games are gateway games. If you watch the E3 thing, it's funny because that felt like Nintendo was at a press conference trying to beat down their opponents, telling them, no, 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 we're real gamers. We are the gateway gamers. We bring more people and we have solid games like Metroid. No, seriously, guys.
Yeah, guys.
Please take us for reals. We're not just toy makers.
Yeah.
Please.
Come on. You make games for 10-year-olds, dude.
Exactly. Your controller is a stick.
But no joy. You drop the joy from
right,
the stick.
It's just a stick. But you were saying something else.
Jacob, that was funny. So I can't remember what I was talking about. I think I was still talking about the wizard or whatever.
Oh, I had more to say about that. Are you still talking about the wizard? Really?
Yeah.
This is the longest
well, we keep
conversation.
Taking pit stops off of...
I think we're done. That's why I move on and you have more to say about the wizard.
I could stop.
No, it's great. Just keep going.
I clearly
I want to pace you out now so that by the end of the episode, you tell us the final scene.
Yeah.
That'll be the goal.
Oh, I think what you were saying is the G4 article that the guys get into, we're talking about Mutant League Football. Guys get into games because they just pick up a Madden game, but they don't play anything else.
Right.
Right. Now, for me, I liked Joe Montana football. I started with Tecmo Bowl, went with Super Tecmo Bowl. Like, that was one of the only games I ever had.
Right.
And that's all we did was play football games because we were obsessed with football when I was a kid. And then we had the baseball. I can't remember. Double Dribble was also a popular one in my neighborhood in the Nintendo era. And that was the one that always had to be blown for some reason. I don't know why. Mm. But anyway... So what Mutant League Football did was it brought in someone like you who's interested not in the copying of professional sports, but the idea of the game of football, but adding this nice, cool, almost science fiction maybe or comic book type element to it, which it brought in what you were interested in. You like to watch football, but you don't. Maybe you're not interested in the X's and O's.
I just don't understand. Yeah, exactly. I don't understand how somebody hasn't put that in an iPhone app or ripped off the concept.
Oh, the actual game, just bringing it into the
iPhone. Or, you know, do your own version on iPhone app and, you know, something, Robot League Football, whatever. You come up with your own name. But it's what was Mutant League
Football? Yeah, exactly. For anybody who doesn't know what Mutant League Football was, is that it was like this own universe. It's kind of like what Sega had to do when EA got exclusive rights to the NFL. In that they used Lawrence Taylor, and they call it, you know, they made their Blitz game.
Yeah.
And they made it like an edgy, almost XFL-like version of the NFL.
With the same cities, but not the same names.
Exactly. None of the same names, none of the same mascots.
But the Mutant League Football took it to the next level where your team had different powers.
Yes.
And the arena that you played in, your home field was different. So the so I remember the one I liked was they were like these vampire people, and there were whole chunks of the field missing. And if you went into it, you fell into outer space.
Yeah.
Like... How is that not, and then you could have robots that have a really good passing game but terrible defense. It just seems to me like you can do this for any sport. Play baseball and have them be mutants or play basketball.
Because there were, if I remember correctly, I remember the robots. They had like, for every position, they had like three different types of player that you could try and hire. Yeah. And then you would have to have a pretty good depth chart on your game because you could have a guy who would just fall off in the middle of space in the middle of the game.
Right.
And if in the middle of the game he fell off in the middle of space, then you had to sub him in with your second string guy, you know. And there was like a zombie type character and a robot character. I think there was, I can't remember what the other ones were, honestly, but the cool thing about it was
here
is
we
also
got the Dark Star Dragons, San Francisco 49ers.
They draw the equations?
Yeah, like, they ripped it off. So the Killer Convicts were the Cowboys. The Misfit Demons were somehow the Dolphins. The Psycho Slashers were the Steelers. Screaming Evils were the Eagles. and Slay City Slayers were the Seahawks. And then, according to this Wikipedia writer, the Terminator Trolls and Turbo Trenchies had no equivalent in the NFL. That was just the Maniac Conference. Then there's also the Toxic Conference and the All-Star Teams. That's interesting. There were several teams. Look, there were 16 teams here.
Yeah,
so it was like twice the size of the XFL.
It was a deep game that was a lot of fun. And then there was also cool things that you had cool abilities that your players could have. Like, so you could have a quarterback who had, you could give them the ability or do like a trick play where the ball would be a bomb.
Right. Yeah.
So you would purposely throw it to a defender and then they would catch it and blow that person up.
You
could quickly take out like their top defensive
player.
The
more we talk about this, the more jazzed I am to download this as a ROM.
Well, I think they have it online.
Why can't we just play this?
When I just did a Google search for it, one of the options was, they also, it came out with a Mutant League Hockey.
It's on PSP. All right.
Boom. You could buy it for PSP?
That's what it says here. The PSP allowed a higher resolution for the game as seen on the Genesis, therefore bringing greater graphics. But it's just a portal. It's not a new version of it, but I'll play it. So why I wanted to bring this up is that you remember Chrono Trigger et al. For the SNES,
mm-hmm.
another amazing title in which kind of built on same sort of built by the same guys that did the
you could get the original Sega Genesis game for $12 on Amazon.
Great.
Electronic Arts.
How much is the Genesis?
I don't know.
Is it in high def? I got to find that on my PSP. I'm going to be playing that this whole week. So it was an RPG, but it was about time travel, and it was set in a mythical universe, and you travel around time, and really deep game, had a good sense of time travel and androids, and really great. But what's so fat, and every time I think about it, I'm like, why has that game not been brought back? So I did a little research this week, and apparently there's all these politics because it's a Japanese-based developing company, and they won't make another game in the title. Thank you, Jacob. Where did you even get my candy? Thanks. They won't make another game in the title unless they can have all of the original developers and directors back on the team.
Oh.
Whereas in America, if a franchise works, have already owned the IP. They're not going to waste.
They sell it and buy franchises left and right.
Exactly. It'd be like Chrono Trigger. There's a demand for a sequel. We're making a sequel. Yeah. I don't care if we don't have the same three dudes that worked on it before.
Yeah, like a developer could go to whoever owns the rights to it and say, hey, we want to make a Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
You guys don't really do anything anymore. Can we buy it from you?
You're busy with Dragon's Quest.
Yeah, name your price.
But see, in there, it looks like, from what I can tell, in the Japanese culture, the directors of video games have the same sort of clout that directors and writers do of films here. Whereas if, you know, Ron Howard doesn't want to do an Arrested Development, there's not going to be another Arrested Development because he's busy. Or he just doesn't want it to happen right now. And that's how they treat their game developers. Which is, so I
thank you for throwing that away.
So, I found it fascinating. On one hand, I found myself kind of judging them and thinking, you're stopping me from getting another Chrono Trigger game. But on the other hand, I realized, well, I only want Hugh Jackman to make The Hobbit. So what are you going to do?
Tell me
more about the wizard.
Yeah. I was trying to think if we'd covered all the tangents that far. So then he plays it at this place, and then they get in a fight in a hotel room, right? And so he's like, you know what? Forget this. I'm going to go. And he gets the place, the Nintendo, and he hooks it up to the TV, and he starts playing the game. And then they have this great cutscene where you see Christian Slater, or just looks like an arm, and you just hear the game sound effects, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's fades in, and then it pulls out. And Christian Slater's in bed, and Bo Bridges is now playing the game. And he's like, oh. And he's
that's right.
And they're using all this incorrect terminology. He's like, I've just got to get this. And then I've done this. And, you know,
I got to get three keys to stop the Monkey King.
Like, it's such an over the top. It makes it just look like a commercial for buy a Nintendo. And everyone in your family will be addicted to video games.
That's pretty much
which I thought was interesting is that now there's the antithesis of that being said.
Yeah.
Where they're saying it's horrible for kids to play nothing. Get outside. You know, NFL's like, play 60. Unless it's 60 minutes of Madden, then please do it because we get a big check from EA every year. You know what I mean? And what's the other thing that I thought was... and now they're like, all the video games are like trying to simulate outdoor activity, which I think is just so funny.
Well, like the Kinectimals, we were discussing earlier, that you have this screen. That's how I feel when I play with the iPad, is that I'm interacting with this invisible creature... in my living room, and I get a little too excited when it does something cute. I can get it to jump on a trampoline. It's pretty great. It's pretty great.
It's great. I think it's great. I mean, I think it's funny that with each level of technology, what seems to be the application is some form of camaraderie. Like,
well, yeah, that's the way to make it move forward. You know, and what I, you know, a little bit of me felt like, oh, we're playing, Kat and I are playing this ping pong game. I'm like, well, what if we just went somewhere and played ping pong for a little while? And I thought, well, we don't have room. Like, I don't have time. I don't know where there's a ping pong table. It costs money to rent that. It's not that entertaining to play ping pong for that long. But here, this game has allowed me to experience ping pong. Yep. And at the end, I don't have to put it away. I didn't go out and buy a ping pong table.
Yeah. You dropped $60 on something you would have and used it to play on something you already had.
Exactly. Yeah. And it came with four other games. I got to do some archery, which was sick and sweet at the same time. And then the gladiator game was pretty badass.
Nice. Yeah. So you give two thumbs up to the Kinect.
Yeah, no, to the Move. I haven't tried the Kinect. I'd be willing to test it out, but I have a feeling the Move has got the Kinect beat.
According to what I've seen on X-Play and Attack of the Show on the G4 network, they are unbelievably impressed.
Really?
With how well it reads your body movement. Mm. They all anticipated that when they got the Kinect, that it was going to be like, it's going to be some new form of technology that was going to work, you know, kind of like
the U-Force was for the Nintendo.
I was going to say the Bluetooth, like where it's like you have this call, voice dialing thing where you hold out a button and it'd be like, call Kevin Miller. And it'd be like, did you say Penelope? You know, like this weird, stupid voice. And it's like, I don't even know someone named Penelope. You stupid
headset.
Did
you say 6-4-1-3-1-1-1-3?
So,
no,
but they said
Penelope.
They said, and what they were most impressed with was that the fact that if you were playing a game and say you and I are playing a game or I've created a profile and you're playing a game and I come over, I could walk into frame and it recognizes me
and you know
and it remembers me and knows who I am and then it'll put me in your
game.
The
issues that I have is that I did a lot of study on the two versions because I'm at Xbox and the PS3 and I was trying to decide which one to get. I eventually chose the PS3 based on content. They have better games coming like Sorcery and Heroes on the Move with Sly Cooper, and whereas that stuff isn't going to be on the Kinect, but it seemed like everything I saw for the Kinect were short clips of something working really well, and it was the same thing again and again. So I have a feeling that they've only got a few tricks that they can do. Mackie, Ian, was just saying in the chat room earlier about they've got the Kinect there at their house, and he says... the dance game. Where did I put it? Danielle, his wife, likes the dance game and watching nerdy white guys attend the dance game.
Yeah.
So I bet Natalie would like it because it's just straight
up
dance.
It's just dancing. It's the only one that you don't have to hold a controller for. Yeah. And I do think it's very funny that on the, you know, get up on the dance floor. Da-da-da, you know, that commercial that they have. It's like, all I do is like, none of us are going to look that cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I can watch cologne ads. I can watch jean ads. Yep. And I will completely invest that when I put those jeans on, my abs will look like that. I believe that eventually I will look that good. But that is the only thing that I'm like, no, you're not fooling me. Just dance too. I know what's
up. Pop unlocking.
I'm not dumb.
But apparently the Xbox, the other thing is if you put in a DVD, because they don't do Blu-ray.
Boom.
If you put in a DVD, you can control it by saying Xbox pause, Xbox stop, Xbox play. And then to scrub in the film, you can actually just put out your hand and then wax on, wax off to the point that you want to see in the film, dial back. Of course, it doesn't work if you're watching the movie in the dark. You won't be able to do that manipulation with your hands, but you could tell it to stop and start.
Interesting that it's almost to a point where proprietary things are what's slowing it down. Like, you could watch a Blu-ray. I'm sure there's an attachable drive you can drop in to watch Blu-ray on your Xbox, but... Like, that's Sony has the Blu-ray. They've made it, you know, so they have it. And then Xbox has this cool thing where you could just do your hand and watch a movie.
Yeah.
But it's so it's not going to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, back to the Wizard.
How much more time we got?
Not much.
Good.
I'll sum it up pretty quick. But so then
well, how much more of the Wizard do you have to tell?
Maybe we'll do a bonus episode after this.
Of just your reenactment of the Wizard.
I mean, am I wrong? I do think that this is interesting because I watched this movie. I thought it was good.
Bro, I could have watched the movie in the amount of time it's taking you to tell me the synopsis.
That's true. I'm telling it because here's what I think happens. I don't think all of our listeners have Netflix, or do they think they have the time.
Or the Redbox.
And I think it's fun for them. It's not on Redbox. You can't watch The Wizard on Redbox. So
only high-class movies like MacGruber. Yeah,
Netflix or your local video store might have a VHS copy, is what I'm saying. And it's such an old-school DVD that it literally just goes, there's no previews. It just goes
right into it.
Yeah, and it's play movie. Or not play movie.
Special features stop.
Yeah, it could have been made on a MacBook. This DVD could have, you know. But the other thing that I thought was interesting about this game is that, you know, now we're going to go to this kid's house where he has the power glove. We all know how well the power glove worked. It did not work at all.
Yeah,
it maybe kind of worked for Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, if I remember correctly, but nothing else was applicable. Yeah. Like this whole steering on Rad Racer, you know.
Which is now what you do on the Wii. Like they had this idea 20 years too early.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then you go to this competition, and then at the end, now I'm jumping through a lot because there's a lot of like truck drivers and funny moments of accusing the child bounty hunter of molestation, which I thought was hilarious. And then they get there, and the big unveiling, the big game they're going to play at the end is Super Mario Brothers 3.
But they don't know that.
Yeah.
They just show up, and they're like, here's a game they've never played before. And if I'm not mistaken, there's like the evil boy that somehow they've been interacting with the entire trip, and some random redheaded chick that isn't very good
at games. Redheaded chick. The redheaded chick is the girlfriend. It's just some really nerdy looking girl. Like, that's it. Like, she's the third participant.
There's just a really, the token chick in it. Yeah.
And so,
like, girls are good at video games.
Come on. That's what I think they had to fight. And it's, like, so funny, too, because the kid who plays Russell, who's, like, the villain, for lack of a better term, kid. The only thing he does, by the way, that's really villainous is when he realizes that Jimmy could beat him in this final competition, he sees the child bounty hunter. He's like, hey, there's the kids you're looking for. Other than that, not a very good villain. Right. Other than that, he's good looking and knows it.
Like, right.
I'm good at everything. So really the only thing he could be accused of is being confident. That's just really his only issue. So then he...
It's good story writing right there.
So they play the game, and it just cracks me up that Jimmy is so good at video games that he knows all of the secrets, even things... Like, as a video game player.
Where the secret mushroom is.
Yeah. He could find all these secrets, which I know that there's, like, you could look today and you could see different, like, discolorations, because they do have to make it slightly obvious for you to be able to see. But it's, like, also, like, Super Mario Brothers 3 was a completely different game from the others, in my opinion.
It was. It took the original Super Mario Brothers and did something new with it.
Yeah.
But there were still, like, secret hidden things. You didn't know. There were invisible things that you could hit. There were no clues.
But this kid found them.
Yeah. I remember in that scene specifically, I remember thinking it was Bull. Because the very first thing they do is you run and run and run. And if you know the game, you know you're supposed to tap, I think it's B repeatedly, and you fly with your raccoon tail. Because that's logical. We knew this because we read the instructions and seen it in The Wizard.
In the commercial.
Yeah, but these kids who supposedly had never seen the game.
The game had never been released.
Yeah.
Nobody had ever seen
it. Right, and they want that brilliant kid somehow knew to make the character fly.
That a raccoon tail would make him fly.
Exactly. Somehow. do you see Daddy's working right now? Do you know he's working? Okay.
Yeah, he helps me.
This is what he does. I can tell. Who combed your hair? Mom did. Yeah, it's really good. You look like you belong on the Rascals.
Which, by the way, Jacob loved The Wizard. The other thing, too, is that
it's
I thought
video
was,
games.
I thought was funny was that they had the... They had this dynamic of everything was like double dare, like for
big
competition.
Oh, yeah.
And the host did nothing but scream to the point where his face was bloodshot red. He had veins popping out of his head. Like,
that's because that's what kids love.
Yeah.
Kids love that shit.
This
they
angry
eat it up.
Yelling at them. Like, it's going to be nuts. Like, he was doing a horrible, like, he was angrier than Macho Man Randy Savage.
That was also really popular at the time. It was wrestling. Right? So they were probably borrowing from that.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you have the Netflix, or if you want to, if you're like, oh, you know what, I think I remember that movie and I liked it. It's worth dropping whatever coin it is on Amazon.
All
I
right.
think.
Do you still have
especially
it?
If you're a huge video game fan. No, I got on Netflix and sent it back. That's what I do. I don't buy things.
I thought I was going to be babysitting your kid tomorrow and playing God of War collection and watching.
If we did this on another day, I could have it here. And I knew I was like, I should keep this for Kevin. I was like, nah, he's not going to care.
You always think that, and I do every time.
No, well, you care because of how much I just, like, amped this up.
Well, now I feel like I just listened to an hour-long behind-the-scenes preview of the film.
I gave you a special feature. That's a good point.
Yeah, you should record this and put it on the DVD, because clearly it needs some.
It's easy. The DVD that you get is actually, it just has a sticker of the movie, and it's actually DVD-RW, so you can add content. It's like a wiki DVD that you can just take and just
What put. A brilliant idea. I think they were also called VHSs. That's great.
Oh, why did we? Somebody had to have thought of that.
What's that?
Renting a movie from a video store and just putting like a porno on top of it, like a VHS.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, they had the thing where you could take the tabs out or whatever.
But you just wasn't it like an audio cassette where if you tape that?
I think it was a little more difficult. You couldn't just put tape on it, like Scotch tape, because that's why. Because the little tabs that could tell if it had the thing there were not that strong, but. You'd have to have something physically in there, but I'm pretty sure there's a way to around that.
It's fun that when we had that gag gift thing for the Unscriptables, and that I think his name was Sherman. I want to say Sherman Slade.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But anyway, he had the copy of the Muppet Treasure Island or whatever movie, but instead it was Roadhouse. It couldn't be two movies that did, like, did not go together at all. Like, yeah. All right, well, that's our show, I think. What do you think?
I think it's great. My favorite part has been Jacob walking between two chairs and throwing imaginary bombs on the floor. Quite an active imagination you have, son. Jump. Yep, that's a jump.
Well, no, don't jump in between chairs. That'll hurt you. Hey, Laura Lineback, if you're listening to this and you were like, hey, I was going to call in, here's what I have to say to you. I left Skype open the whole time. But maybe I should have called you and told you, so I'm sorry.
Nice hopping. Hey, additionally, everybody listening in the chat rooms and on Ustream, you're already gone. So thanks for being here earlier.
They didn't like my wizard talk.
They all, in the chat room, they all left at the same time. They're like, okay, I got to go. Hey, guys, have a great show. I'll listen to the rest later.
Like, how long ago? Just out of curiosity.
About 20 minutes. Not that long.
I apologize for my wizard
talk. No, I love the wizard. Listen,
I know you do, but, you know, maybe people aren't into it. And if they're not, hey, it's a podcast. You can fucking stop and move on to the next
one. That's right, you can.
Explicit.
I'm going to find, can I get, don't you touch that button, baby. I'm going to find Mutant League Football on my PSP.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, you could
send us. How late is GameStop open?
Closed at, 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
You can send us an email at show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Don't forget, we are looking for your favorite sound bites for the past year only of the show so that we can change our intro after the new year. I'm going to need at least 6 or 7, I'm imagining. I've got 2 or 3 of my own. So. Oh, see, that's what I was waiting. Yeah. Little help, Mom. Little help, please.
He's okay.
So
he's upset, but he's okay.
Just scared himself. That's all. So anyway, I don't know what else to say. So go to secondfunniestpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook. All of that stuff. On behalf of my good friend, Kevin Miller, my scared out of his mind son.
He just fell on the floor and cracked his head. He bent his neck backwards.
He didn't even do that.
Well, maybe if you stop punching him in the back.
I got to get off
Justin.
This microphone.
Hey, let's talk about 4 more things real quick.
Gotta go. I'll be my good friend Kevin Miller.
Okay, bye.
I'm going to punch you in the face. Okay, bye.